we haven't studied Jude since 2004.
Everybody put on your crash helmets for Jude.
Does everybody remember who Jude is? Anybody remember besides Pete?
My wife.
Huh?
My wife.
Hey, Jude?
Yeah.
No, he's the go to Matthew 13 for a minute. See if we can figure out who Jude is. Jesus was preaching again in Nazareth. He had been called up to read again, and after the first time he called up to read, they were going to throw him off a cliff, and I guess they softened a little bit. But anyway, in verse 53, he's just going through all of these parables. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Where hath this man this wisdom and these mighty words? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, and Joses, and Simon, and Judas, and Jude, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, and in his own house. And he did not many works there because of their unbelief. So Jude was one of the brothers of Jesus. But he never says that. You know, if one of us was Jesus' brother, we'd be, oh, Jesus, that's my brother. Right?
He thinks he's God. Careful.
Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James. So James was another brother, but he doesn't say a brother of Jesus. To them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Go to John 7 a minute. Big John. In verse 1.
Or John 1.
Huh? I'm sorry, John 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry or Judah, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth any of the things in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. And that's including all of his brothers. None of them believed in him at this time. And it's unclear when they started believing, but eventually they all believed.
But they saw the works that he did.
Hmm?
They saw his works. It says that the disciples may see the works that thou doest.
He's being facetious. He's challenging him. Why doesn't he go? And he doesn't leave with all the rest of them because he's got another deal going on.
Okay.
But he was slighting him here. You see that a little bit? Maybe. All right. But Judas, he calls himself a servant. And remember what the word doulos for servant is?
Bondslave.
You symbolically nail your ear to the doorpost. I don't think they do that, but that's what the word doulos means. Oh, I thought it was something I said you were leaving.
It happens often.
Let's go to I want to establish this thing here. Let's go to Luke 11. See what other places talk about.
It's interesting what he said to his brother. He says, my time has not come, but your time is always.
Yeah.
Where did we go?
Luke 11. Let's not go there. I'm not here totally, so as you make a guess. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy upon you, or unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Now, sanctified is the Hebrew word, our Greek word, hagiazo, and I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it right, but hagiazo, it's normal meaning if you look at definitions, is set apart. But it means much more than set apart. Hagios is the word that means you are made holy. You're set apart. Because it assumes you have left the world. It assumes that your life has been altered dramatically. And it's hard for us to imagine what it must have been like to have a guy that you grew up with, that you played pickup sticks with or whatever, maybe went fishing with, and here all of a sudden there is, he spake words like no man ever spoke, he did miracles that no man ever did, and it's but his brothers and sisters knew him, and they'd seen his, you know, they grew up with him. And so the idea that would, that you would come, that, you know, it's just, it's I've often tried to consider what that would be if I had grown up as in the family of Joseph and Mary. I mean, how would that work?
How could, yeah, I thought the same thing the last couple of days. There had to be the stories told of his birth, you would think. People talk.
Who did they know? Who could tell them?
Just
Mary kept it quiet. The angel, the only ones that had a total revelation were the shepherd priests, where the heavens opened and the angel sang. They heard it. They went back and told their report to the Sanhedrin. You know, these are the guys that in the towers, remember, they couldn't go more than 16 or 12 miles. But past Jerusalem, otherwise the sacrifice. And that's the cave that he was born in the one.
But there had been almost a conspiracy of silence to not.
Well, of course.
The story.
Yeah, but who would tell?
And who would believe it?
Huh?
And who would believe it?
Well, I mean.
Well, his John the Baptist, his family.
Yeah, but that, not until much later.
Not, possibly. I mean, we don't really know, do we?
The only thing we know, yeah, we know a lot about John the Baptist.
Yeah, but the early years of Christ.
Huh?
The beginning years of him.
The only thing we know that they had any contact was when John the Baptist was in the womb.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mary went up there to get away from the being pregnant and not married. We forget all these things. And so John the Baptist jumped in the womb when he heard, but then there's no more. There's
this Immaculate Conception, they probably didn't talk about that very much.
Well, no, I mean, obviously, I mean, that's the, what would the old wives' tales be in the city where it's, yeah, right.
Yeah. You're totally shut.
And what would, I mean, we forget that she went to Elizabeth, her cousin, because she was just, she was tired of being pregnant and she wasn't married. And everybody, you can imagine the crap that went on over that. I mean, we read these, or we have these fairy tales that we hear about how everything was wonderful and blah, blah, blah. No, it wasn't. It was terrible. Herod tried to kill him. But anyway.
And that's probably another reason why she wouldn't have talked about it, because, you know, she remembered all the shame of it at the same time. And she remembered the glory part of it. So,
right. I mean, but she went to Elizabeth because that was way up in the country and she didn't know anybody there.
Yeah, it was a good place to hide out.
Then there wasn't any more. That's John jumped in the womb, and then he didn't see him again, or any record of it anyway, until Jesus came there for baptism. I mean, we confuse Sunday school stories with what the Scripture says. Anyhow, sanctified and preserved. Preserved in Jesus Christ. Preserved is terio. Hold firmly. Guard, watch, keep. But the preserved isn't just... Each of us has to cooperate with the one that is preserving us. Otherwise, again, as I've said so often, he takes the lowest seat. Lisa came and told me that this friend of mine at Channel 8 wanted to interview me. Well, I was in nowhere to be interviewed like yesterday, and so fortunately I said you should talk to Pete. So anyway, he talked to Pete. But the idea, I mean, we never have the right ideas about people or things, or we always put our own spin on it. I think the reason that we've talked about this before, like Pete and Gary and probably all of you at some point, people really liked you and you were did good, did well. Well, I did that for a while, but then I went totally to hell while I was still in high school. I have never been able to think of myself in any kind of a positive way. I know that sounds weird, but it's true. Even when I was a pagan, I didn't think I was anything. And I can't imagine what it must be like to have been told your whole life that you're a good person, you're a good guy, you're a good girl, whatever. Now, Lisa probably was a good girl early, but then she became a bad girl, just like I became a very bad guy. But it had to happen that way. Otherwise, I couldn't have believed. And it's, again, it's we are preserved if we are willing to be preserved. We are sanctified if we are willing to be sanctified. It always is. You can't get this out of you, out of the Scriptures. He will not occupy where you are. Period.
I'd like to add something to the sanctified. I believe that sanctification is a function of the cross, of the picking up of the cross and reckoning itself dead. And that whole preachment is the vehicle of sanctification. In that condition, you are sanctified. Because you have given up your life.
Well, you're the only way you're sanctified from God's standpoint is if you're dead.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you.
You're agreeing with me there.
But we aren't dead because we're saying we're dead.
Well, what makes us dead?
When there's nothing, the only way that I know to make what makes us dead. And when there's absolutely nothing in the world system that is attractive. There's no place in the world system that I would have any interest in going. As long as we are have a foot, one foot in both worlds, that's fine. You know, as we talked about, that's what it says. I brought into you little children because your sin is forgiven. And if you know your sin's forgiven, that's wonderful. It probably means salvation, but that's not what discipleship is. Discipleship is a totally different animal. And I've had this discussion over the years with many, many people about the difference between being a believer and a disciple. It's massive. It's massively different. And both of them, the scriptures say there is salvation. But we, for many of the people that are that knows they have been saved by the will of God, they don't know they're dead, so they keep on. Anyway,
you said sanctification is, if I recall, that's the most profound level, if you will, of repentance. It's when there's no there. It's that total exchange.
Well, sanctified is a right. The end result of sanctification is that the beginning is the same as the end. So that there's no more sanctified, it means you're seated on the mercy seat.
Like a mutual spiritual exchange, his spirit in you, and your death, and whatever spirit is in you is returned to him, and it's
right, it's he alone is life. He alone is my life. There is no other.
Well, that would be the ultimate discipleship.
Well, who knows what the ultimate discipleship is, but
I guess
I think the ultimate discipleship is like Paul being beheaded and Peter being crucified upside down and all of the first century church. I mean, they were hated of all men. Then we say, it says we are, we're not, why were they hated of all men? Because they were, no matter what the value system is, in any time and space, in any place, everything in time and space is based on the fall. So everything in time and space is based on self-betterment, self-improvement in some way. And now it's even in churches teaching self-improvement instead of death. Death is death. But the evil one constantly resurrects himself at every opportunity. That's his con. That's why it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Those aren't light statements. And we'll see in Jude, Jude is full of them. Jude makes those two seem like child's play. Called. Is the last word we'll study today. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Christ, in Jesus Christ, and called. Called is kletos. Many are called, but few are chosen. Kletos just means you're invited to the banquet. You're invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But don't go into that wedding supper with the wrong garment on. Amen. You've got to, each of us, at some point, you've got to do this. You cross this line, and never again to return. And to me, the only way that can happen is by the preaching of the cross. Because the preaching of the cross is finally getting it through your head that you're dead and you were buried in baptism. Never again to be risen.
Aren't some of the evangelical faiths somewhat close to what you preach? Some similarities, like Southern Baptists? I remember growing up.
Well, I'm not. I don't know, and I have no idea what other people preach.
Was that you talked about being hated by men. I remember growing up, if you were a Methodist or a Presbyterian, Episcopalian, you were all right. But if you were one of those crazy Southern Baptists, I remember they were mocked, you know, especially in high school. You
know? Yeah, I don't have any idea about that.
But there's something about
the one thing that I'm aware of about that is that the denominational nature, the churches that were considered mainstream, even up till just before I was a believer, did not include the Baptists in it, or the Southern Baptists. They were kind of nutty.
Fringe.
But the Episcopals, the Methodists, you know, the normal standard churches that had been fascinating to me is that in the 50s the denominational churches, ones that we just talked about, Episcopal, blah, 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 they all became involved in politics. Charismatics and the Baptists didn't until the later 60s. And then the politics didn't get hurt, but it caused massive amounts of falling away in the denominational churches because of their involvement in politics. Now, that didn't catch the Baptists now and the Charismatics, because they're now the ones that are wildly involved in politics, which just drives me nuts. And they didn't see what they didn't get the lesson from when the standard churches got so involved in politics. But that day shall not come unless that there be a falling away, an apostasy that's never been like it is. And that's what we're seeing today, an apostasy into to do anything except your death. And watch how quickly your mind tries to prove that wrong. Give some exceptions. It can't be done. There's dead or dead. There's dead or not dead. There's no in between. Anyway, we didn't get very far. We got one verse. That's not a very good.
That's par.
Huh?
That's par.
Par for?
Par for the course.
For holy preaching?
Yeah.
Probably.
I remember those days back in the office, we'd get a word sometimes.
All right. Anybody have any other response? Take it, big guy. Miss Lisa?
Yeah.
I don't think I can drive. Mm-hmm. Oh, but wait a minute. I need to tell some. Hold that sentence. Would you park over here in the white car?
Yes.
Not in. Is it? Okay.
Totally agree.
I don't think I better drive today, but I need to go to the store. Okay. And we haven't heard any more from UT Southwestern. Right? So, because I gave them, I told them I wasn't reliable and they should call you.
Did they say when they were going to call? Or?
They just said they're. Well, the one thing that may have delayed it. Take it, big guy.